Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
We've got Judge Travis Bryan on the other line. It's a beautiful day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we've got a really exciting message here today for the believer.
We camp on the message of the cross. Todd, this message is not one that you can just pass over every now and then and expect the listener to get. You have to camp on it. I mean, it's on every page of the Bible, so obviously God wanted us to center all of our preaching in the cross. And so Absolutely. We do that in our Bible class, Todd.
Well, and out of that cross comes the resurrection life and power of Christ to do the things that sometimes we're trying to do in the flesh and don't realize that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that those things can be done. And that's only going to happen when we're crying out in the daily cross, Lord, you must increase. There's that resurrection. But I must decrease. I love that wording there and the actual arrangement of it, Brother Travis, because it's the initiating grace of God first and foremost. The scripture does not read, I've got to decrease so that Christ can increase. No, John the Baptist cries out in John 3:30, he must increase. See, God is the initiating factor of our relationship with him in the first place and of our ongoing relationship with him and an abiding fellowship with him. The scripture tells us he first loved us. That's why we're saved. We didn't find God. He found us. So he must increase. I must decrease. There's a precedence there for the prayer that God would anoint us to the burial of self. He would just fill us afresh with his Spirit to the burial of self so that Christ might reign. God will help us in that daily cross, Brother Travis.
Absolutely. We have to surrender, Todd, to all the events that God will allow to come our way and present our body as a living sacrifice in order for this transformation to take place. Salvation Amen. And sanctification is something that happens to us. It's not something we do. It's something we receive in faith, not something we achieve. And we are not the initiators of this. God is the initiator. We simply respond in faith. Christ must increase in us, so I, that's the word ego, must decrease. And I read a similar statement from F.B. Meyer, one of the old British saints, who he said the entire philosophy of the Bible can be captured in one phrase or one set of terms, and that is no longer I, but Christ. Which is virtually the same thing Todd is saying. He must increase and I must decrease because that no longer I is no longer the ego. We're no longer self-centered. Self must get down off the throne and let Christ ascend to that throne of each and every heart and of the collective heart of the church for God yes. to move and glorify and accomplish what he wants to through the church.
Laodicea comes to mind, brother, which Jesus is foretelling the last day church would be Laodicea. The professing church is full of self, and there's never been a time in history when the cross is more needed, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, than it is. Now, this is not a message that we can just say, oh, that's a nice little message, and continue to prance on in all of our foolish earthly glory. This is an essential message for the believer. Jesus, who bled on the cross and accomplished salvation by his blood perfectly, did not say, here's a free ticket to go live any way you like. No, 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We are to live for him which died for us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. We're bought with the price of the blood of Christ. We're not our own anymore, and it's a blessing. The load is going to lift. The load that people carry, trying to make their way through life, even working their way through the Christian life. Brother Travis, I know you talk a lot about this. Let go and let God wave the white flag. Go ahead, bro.
Well, you know, that when you talk about dying to self, dying to sin, dying with Christ, and all of those terms are so rich and important in the message of the cross and the resurrection, The natural question that the listener asks himself when he hears that is, how do I do that? And that's of course the wrong question, but it's always the first question. It's the first question I ask when I heard this message. How do I do that? And the answer to that is, you can't do it. It's not up to you to do it. You don't have the power to do it. You can't kill yourself. You can't commit spiritual suicide, and you're not supposed to. What the Bible is asking us to do is surrender, and as you just said, let go and let God. Let go is the death part. Let God is the resurrection side of it, and that's difficult for the human mind to grasp, that we can't do this, Todd. That's our first place and first admission we have to make. We have to say with Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? And then God will move into action in your life.
Speaking of moving into action, that's part of the text that we had slated to talk about today in this message called Unplugged. Romans 7:18 gets foundational, connected directly with verse 24 that you just quoted, Brother Travis. And it's an essential component of our Christian walk, which I find most believers have never been taught or anchored in this truth. We think we're good enough and that we can do this on our own naturally. But Paul says here, he makes this admission and states it, and we should memorize and meditate on this. Verse 18, Romans 7, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, dwells in me. Is that the starting point here, one of the starting points, Brother Travis?
It certainly is, Todd, and the law is certainly righteous, holy, and true, but the function of the law really is to bring you to the end of yourself, to bring you to a position of helplessness, as it did with Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, as you just pointed out. And so once you are brought to that helpless state, then you can cry out to God and say, God, I can't do it, but I believe you can do it. That's faith, Todd, right there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to let you is the third part of that. I'm going to let you. So there's three distinct movements. I can't do it. God, you can do it. And three, I'm going to let you do it.
Amen. That's the key right there. You know, in this general passage, chapters 6 through 8, which is a natural section of the book of Romans, for anybody who studied the book of Romans, which is correctly called the ABCs of the Christian faith, chapter 8, verse 13 and 14, Brother Travis, really nails what you just said. It says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so one of the things we see there, too, come to mind, it's only by the Spirit of God and the power of the Spirit that we can overcome. Notice, if ye, verse 13, Romans 8, through the Spirit, that's key, through the Holy Spirit, capital S, mortify the deeds of the body. We're not alone, as a recent Christian song speaks about. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we're being led by the Spirit of God, we are in the cross every day, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, able to overcome and subdue that old man, that old nature. And Paul said we're to put off that old man and put on the new man. And that dovetails us right into Romans chapter 6 and 7 here, the co-death that you speak of, and the co-resurrection with Christ, which unplugs us and plugs us. We are unplugged, you're right, from our old source of life, sin, self, and the old identity and the law, and plugged into Christ, our new power source for righteousness, the law of love, and new identity. The old power source is still there and available to us, but we need to consider ourselves dead to it, that is, unplugged from it. And finally, you finished with this, Brother Travis. The Spirit is our invisible supply, like the dispensing of a supply of electricity, unquote.
Yeah, and this unplugged and plugged is, of course, a metaphor that I'm using to try to describe the truth here in Romans chapter 6 and 7. 6 is dying to sin, Todd. Through the cross, we die with Christ to sin. And that's speaking not of sinful acts or omissions, but the sin nature that is we are in bondage to until we die this death. And it's the death of Christ and our death with him that unplugs us from sin, the sin nature as our power source in life. And it breaks that connection, that hold or that influence over us that sin has, and then plugs us into Christ so that we die to sin, we're unplugged from it, and then we're plugged into Christ, which allows us to live to God. So it's through this death and resurrection with Christ. Death, I'm going to add burial in too. Death, co-death, yes, co-burial, and co-resurrection, that we are unplugged from sin, self, the law, and the world. All of those, the Bible teaches, have a power over us that has to be broken, and that cannot be broken, Todd, through human effort. It can only come through the cross and the resurrection and our experience of that with Christ. So now, I want to say this. When we're unplugged from sin, that, what do you call that object that's in the wall that you plug a into? What do you call it? That receptacle and that electricity is still there, Todd, and it's beckoning us to come back and plug in and trying to seduce us and beguile us into its wonderful pleasures that it offers and wonderful, ambitious things that it can give us. And so we, at any time, any day, even after salvation, we can elect to go ahead and plug back into that power source. And you could think of it as a radio to tune back into that frequency and listen and take our instructions there. We have plugged into a new source of life, and that is Him. And that's His righteousness, His power, His love, His life, Todd. We're plugged into the tree of life now, no longer into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Go ahead from there, Todd.
Many things come to mind here. The modern church is filled with people that are misleading it. I was going to say leading it. Yeah, leading it astray. There's literally nearly no message from the Scripture, which is the call of God throughout the whole New Testament, to come and die. Come and die, Jesus says. If you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross. That's the only prescription. And as we do, the life of Christ teeming and living and leading us is going to bring forth good fruit and glory to God. You know, that's a message. Paul speaks of those who are the enemies of the cross of, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not hearing this cross, which is summated it as, you've got to lay down your life. See, Jesus said, if you forsake not all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. And then we've created these levels of theology where, well, we're not his disciple, but we're still saved. That's impossible. You cannot separate the two. Jesus said, I am the way, that is, to heaven in specific, and the Father, John 14. And if we're not following Jesus the way Jesus prescribed, we're not following him. And that means we're on the wide road that leads to eternal destruction, folks. This message is not an optional thing for the one that's going to be in glory with the Lord. Paul said this, Brother Travis, you recall, and I want you to talk about that in light of the cross, the daily cross that we're talking about today, folks, where Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, and man, when you listen to his words, you certainly don't believe Paul believed this rank heresy of once saved, always saved. That's a godless, demonic lie from hell. Paul said this. He says, I keep under my body
and bring it into subjection,
lest by any means, after I've preached to everybody else, I myself should become a castaway. Now, Brother Travis, how does that fit in here?
Well, that's a daily death, Todd. We have an initial event of baptism into the death of Christ, and then we take up the cross daily, and that's the way salvation is maintained. We don't do it by human effort. Galatians 3:3. It's by the same process of your original salvation. You're saved every day from various thinking and habit and temptations and trials that come into your life. You're saved through those daily through the cross and the resurrection, Todd.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to quote those two verses that Brother Travis is referring to out of Galatians. He just referred to chapter 3, verse 3, and I want to highly encourage you to write all these verses down, begin to read, pore over them prayerfully, and memorize them from the King James Bible. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No, and also chapter 2, verse 20, as Brother Travis pointed out, F.B. Meyer, he says, this summates the Christian life, as I understand it, Brother Travis, as you shared earlier. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's a replacement, isn't it, Brother?
In Romans 6, 7, and 8 are just the absolute kernel of the Bible is there. In 6, Paul is talking about baptism. He's not referring to water there. He's talking about a spirit baptism into the death of Christ and a resurrection with Christ that happens now in the present. Verse 5 is talking about a present resurrection. And 3 through 7 and beyond even is talking about baptism. Now, a minute ago I said, well, the first question we ask is, how do you do this? You don't do it. You faith through these baptisms. Baptism, the word baptizo in Greek, literally means overwhelmed with calamity. So God allows these calamities to come into your life, these adversities, these oppositional things, these adversarial things that the adversary brings against you. And he uses people to do that. He may use weather. He may use criminality or military conflict. I don't know exactly how it may present itself to you, but baptism begins when you are overwhelmed and you don't have any way to solve the problem with your own control, your own self-salvation. And you sink down in that moment into this death, Todd, and surrender to this. You let go in this moment and begin to sink down. The old you begins to, at least metaphorically, drown so that God can then raise up a new creation person, a new person in Christ. And verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now that newness of life, Todd, is where the Christian life becomes real. That's where the power is. That's where the life is. That's where the joy and the endurance, that's where the love is. And all the virtues are found in Christ in newness of life, but that cannot be accessed except through this calamity, this adversity, this being overwhelmed, Todd, where we finally have to give up on ourselves and say, I can't do it. And let me add this, it's just as important in Paul's presentation that we die to the law, Romans 7, as it is we die to sin in 6. He places equal importance on each of those. So the believer can die to sin, but then the monkey wrench is you go back to law and try through human effort to perform for God and be acceptable by him through your own efforts to keep rules, and that will, again, sully the whole process. Resurrection life cannot continue when you're living under law.
Amen. It's one or the other, isn't it? I love the resurrection chapter of this natural division in Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, I believe it is, or 2, actually, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And, you know, just talking about this resurrection and this newness of life, quote unquote, that we're to walk in, it's just invigorating. It just breathes life into you. And yet, it's not available and will not happen in my life unless I'm willing to lay this life down so that he can raise it up by his power. God is not going to raise up myself or any other believer or anyone if we're still alive under our own power. It's so important to pray, especially in the morning, I believe, and perhaps therefore throughout the day, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Again, it's the illustration that Brother Travis was speaking about earlier, unplugging from self and putting our whole identity, the weight of our whole being into Christ. You know, Christ prayed to the Father. A lot of times people call the Our Father which art in heaven prayer, Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. But that's the disciples' prayer, actually. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is praying that we would be one with him as he and the Father are one. This is all rooted in our identity, our oneness. In verse 3 of John 17, a memory verse, Jesus said, this is life. life eternal. This is the whole reason for eternal life from the divine mind, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, Brother Travis, as we're speaking here, we're winding down to about 3 or 4 minutes here. I was going to ask you, how does all of this, and what a message this is, how does all of this tie into what Jesus told every one of the 7 churches in Revelation? He says, let him that has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is saying to the church. What would the Holy Spirit be saying to the church today, Brother Travis?
To follow Jesus, follow him into his death, into his resurrection, and into this life that God provides through the cross, and stop trying to do it on your own. We need to be unplugged from the world and plugged into Christ. And that means losing a lot of things. This is a gospel of loss before it's gained, Todd. We have to lose our old identity, and even the good parts of us have to die. Things that we value about ourselves, the way we present ourselves to the world, the way we want the world to see us, everything we're trained that by the world and even our parents to think and do as young children and teenagers and growing up in the world, all we've got to unplug from every bit of that, completely remove ourselves from it as our power source and our self and our center. And self is no longer the reference point, no longer the source of everything. And come over to Christ, where we're totally dependent upon him and receiving dispensing, a word, a biblical word in the King James Version, that God dispenses himself into us. His life, his power, his love, everything that he is, all of his virtues are dispensed into us through this new power source, Todd.
Amen. Infusing us with the life of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 sums up a lot of what today's message is about. Verse 8, beginning in verse 8, all of these things that are happening to us. Somebody listening is in the middle of a trial, I bet. Anyway, Paul's talking about the things he suffers, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and how the cross is right in the middle of that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. He's talking about being persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus, the life of Jesus, amen, might be made manifest in our body, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. Father, we ask you to seal this message in our hearts. Quicken us, Lord, to not evade it in the holy fear of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Todd.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.